Hello, and welcome to the show. It's a manic, crazy Wednesday. A lot of stuff going on, and we're going to bring it to you. So you're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray. That's Tal Rayside.
And I am Tay, Eric Taylor, and wow, listen, this is a mouthful of a sports show. So join us and have some fun. No matter how you're thinking, feeling, or whatever today. 718-664-9098. Get on the horn. Give us your opinions about a myriad of topics. Also, get at us at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. You can email us questions, thoughts, ideas, topics for the show, anything. Check out our website. It's fantastic, interactive. You could check out the updates with, you know, mock drafts, the baseball standings, everything. We cover all sports. We've got a lot of information on the site, and that's at rayandtaytoday.com. Same thing for Facebook and Twitter. We love tweeting that, everybody, and we're interactive. So, Ray, let them know, man. How are we going to get into this meat and potato show?
So the major element of our show today is going to be the NBA draft. So, but before we get into that, Ray and Tay will give you our little mock draft. We'll go through the lottery. We'll go through some teams and some players. But before we get into that, there is so much happening in the world of sports that we're going to get into that as well. So we'll talk a little bit about Aaron Hernandez and the mess that's going on there up in Boston. We'll talk about these NHL finals and that unbelievable Game 6. We'll talk about tennis, golf, some coaching news in the world of basketball. And then, like we say, NBA Draft 2013. It's here tomorrow.
Let's do it. All right, Ray, let's not beat around the bush. People are listening. We thank them. It's sort of straightforward. We made our comments last show, and we both agreed, you know, hey, nobody can rush the judgment in any of these cases. Things have happened before in all sports and in real life. And, you know, he put in a plea of not guilty. He was arrested this morning, 8:47 p.m. The Patriots released Aaron Hernandez. He is now the former tight end of the New England Patriots. They released him after last year. He had just signed a 5-year, $40 million deal. He received about $9 million in change of it last year. Still was sort of owed in signing bonus another $3.2 million. And he was, you know, arrested this morning and officially charged with murder. And there were six different, I guess, charges. And it's very sad. I mean, you know, RIP to Odin Lloyd, his family, and, you know, I just think, Ray, we don't know if the prosecution, they've made a hint that they have witnesses, the other two gentlemen, we don't know their status. I would assume that they've already been brought in, whether they've been arrested or questioned, we don't specifically know, but this is so heavy, and, you know, when you hear about, you know, the 40 caliber that, you know, basically, the surveillance video showed him with the gun. The shell casings were in the rental car at the crime scene, but no one has found a weapon yet. So, you know, Ray, I don't know what to say, because at 23 years old, you one day potentially could have changed and destroyed, you know, hit two lives forever,
right.
At least two to four lives forever. And it's just decisions. It's sad.
Yeah, and you would think this guy's got the world at his fingertips, right? He's 23 years old. He's young. He's got a bright
career
in football. He's engaged, yeah. So let's let all the information come out. Let's see where it all lies. But at the end of the day, somebody lost their life, right? And that's the worst part of it all. So, you know, it's one thing when these athletes are accused of, you know, misbehavior at the club or you know, whatever, but somebody lost their life. So let's get to the bottom of that first and foremost, and then see where the chips fall, you know, once the legal system runs its course.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny that you just said that, because, you know what, I think at some point sometimes we have to report when people got it wrong. People were saying the stuff about Maurice Jones-Drew, and the lawyers said all the salacious stuff about what was on a videotape. nothing was on the tape, Ray, nothing of what they reported. And, you know, now they were saying, does Maurice Jones-Drew of the Jaguars, the starting running back, does he want to press charges against them? And he said, no, I just want to drop it. But, you know, he didn't do what they said in this whole bar scene and fight, and he got out of there. And, you know, so all the charges are dropped, and the commissioner's not going to suspend him or anything. And, you know, I just think sometimes, not just athletes, famous people get sometimes, you know, all this attention, good and bad, and sometimes, you know, that, oh, he stepped on my shoe and it punched me, and then it turned out, no, that didn't happen. So, you know, sometimes it's like, and, you know, for all accounts, Jones-Drew's pretty much, you know, a really good guy and has never had any, you know, police records against him. So it's,
you know, and it's funny because, and that's a guy that's got a squeaky clean record. This brings to mind all that nonsense that happened with Michael Irvin back in the 90s with the Cowboys, that it was just totally fabricated. Now, he's a guy that had his own issues off the, you know, off the field with drugs and whatever, but it just goes to show, you know, it's not always 100% what's reported is actually true. And so that's why I said, let's just let this, I'm sure in the next week, few weeks, this will all play out and we'll get to the bottom of it. And hopefully we'll get some recourse and some justice for this family that lost, you know, a family member, a life. That's the most important thing. But,
Well, I was going to say real quick, before we get to the hockey and the tennis, I just want to say in golf, feel bad for Tiger with this, you know, hurt elbow. He's doing some rehab. He had to pull out of his own tournament that he won last year, the AT&T. He can't defend it. But I thought it was interesting. Nick Faldo was saying, oh, that he's not, you know, mentally into the game. And the reporter was like, Tiger, are you, like, not mentally in the game? And he's like, well, I won four times this year. You know, I mean, so I think it's sort of weird when, like, Nick Faldo or any, you know, media person tries to get in the athlete's head. I think it's so, I don't want to say ignorant, but it's silly and it's sometimes stupid, you know, presumptuous, basically. And so Tiger was like, no, you know, I'm focused and I was injured, you know, and you saw him fighting through it in the U.S. Open. So I think, you know, but like he said, they do stuff for his charity and a lot of charitable work wrapped around this tournament. So, you know, kudos to that, and we'll see who wins it. But, Ray, the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup 4-2. They win 3-2, 17 seconds left. Patrick Kane, only the fourth American to win basically the MVP, the Conn Smythe Trophy. What'd you think, and tell me what you thought about Crawford, sort of redemption, the goalie, right? People were trying to rip him, and he you know, he played big the last two games.
Well, you know what? I don't think I've ever in the history of sports. I mean, there was, you know, that Havlicek steals the ball in 73 when the Celtics beat the Phoenix Suns. But I don't remember 17 seconds where we were going to Game 7. It was a Game 7. I was thinking, oh, wow, Game 7 in the NBA, Game 7 in the NHL.
Yeah.
Game 7. We were ready. And then 17 seconds and you score two goals. On the
incredible
road. So,
and you called it. You said six games. I said seven. We both had the Blackhawks, and we were both right with the Heat. But you called it, Ray, six games.
Yeah, but I had no idea Game 6 was going to turn out like this. I mean, that's crazy. No. I don't remember, and we've been watching sports a long time, I don't remember a series ending like this. You know,
and some of the best ratings for the NHL and NBC, which was, you know, really good for them, especially, you know, after the lockout and having, you know, so many lockouts in the last couple of years, this was big. And you hoped that for the sport they could capitalize on it, you know?
Yeah, they had the perfect storm, I think. Two original six teams, which hadn't met in the final since 79. And so since
two huge media markets and sports towns,
yeah,
Chicago
exactly.
And Boston.
And Chicago had won it this is their second win in 4 years, and Boston was a defending champ. So we had a bunch of, you know, hockey heads happy with this final. Hopefully they will continue their momentum. But you know what? It's time for us to move on. We got some crazy happenings over at Wimbledon. What's going on over there? Everybody's losing. Rafael Nadal loses in the first round. Federer loses in the second round. Everybody's getting hurt. Did you and I have
win
a tournament?
You know what's so great about this kid that Stachowski that beats Federer? You know what's so great? He was like, I was playing against Federer and sort of the mystique and the ego of Federer. And he's like, and if I could just, you know, sort of get, you know, hang around long enough, I felt like I could win, you know. And he wins. It was, 7-6.
I lost the first
6-7, 7-6, 7-5. And then 7-6. That's incredible. Yeah,
yeah, he's Ukrainian. He's 27 years old. He basically said himself, he said, I couldn't play a better match. I played as well as I could. It was magical.
Yeah.
So you know what? That's fantastic. Federer had made the quarterfinals, I think, 34 straight times in Grand Slam. And he's a seven-time champion at Wimbledon. And you thought, okay, Nadal goes down. So the only person out there for him is Djokovic and maybe an Andy Murray or somebody like that. But wow.
Yeah, Andy Murray won, yeah. But wait a minute, Ray. I mean, it's not just there. The women. Azarenka loses and Sharapova loses. And they're both 2 and 3 in the tournament, you know. So they both go down in the second round. And you wonder with Sharapova with the back and forth with her and Serena, was she not really focused? She lost 6-3, 6-4. Sharapova goes down. And Azarenka, you know, oh, no, I'm sorry, she didn't go down yet. She's about to play. But, you know, you just wonder, are they distracted? I mean, because to me, Sharapova...
These things just happen. I just think that when they happen in one tournament, you think, oh, my goodness, what's going on? Is the sun and the moon lining up and there's some crazy stuff happening over there in London? It just happens. It just happens. One of those years. I bet it's funny because I bet now it's going to be chalk for the rest of the tournament. I mean, I don't know that.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see Serena, you know, she'll probably take it. You know? Right now, you got to say in any sport besides LeBron, Serena Williams is probably the most focused and the most dominant athlete in the world besides LeBron right now. She really is. It's like her, LeBron James, and Patrick Kane need to just have their own little pool party because they're on fire. They are on fire. Yeah. Well, listen, let's segue to the NBA. We have got 3 coaches getting jobs, and I guess – there's what? The Boston job and the Sixer job. 2 of the greatest historic franchises in the Eastern Conference still available or now available, right? The Grizzlies hire from within Jaeger, the defensive specialist. Yeah, he gets sort of upgraded, right, after they let go or did not re-sign Hollins. The Denver Nuggets, they get the man who's been waiting. And basically said, look, I learned under Phil Jackson. I played with the great Lakers. I'm going to do my triangle. Brian Shaw gets his job with the Nuggets, and I think it's perfect, Ray. I think he can do a lot with this roster and get the most out of them. I'm excited for Brian Shaw, and then obviously Doc Rivers finally gets finalized from the Celtics to the Clippers for a 2015 unprotected first-round pick, which still could be the number 23rd or 25th pick because the Clippers should be, you know, extremely talented and do well even in 2015. By all accounts, Chris Paul will re-sign with them. So before we get to this draft, where do you think it takes, I guess, the Clippers and then, you know, Boston and Philly, where will they turn? Will they go to Hollins, George Karl, or youth guys?
Well, I got to figure that Hollins is got to get a job. I mean, the guy did great. I mean, it just happens to be that for whatever reasons, he and the Grizzlies
ownership
together on terms and on figures, but it's not that he didn't deliver the goods. So it's not like he got bounced in the first round like Vinny Del Negro, who ended
their
up
best record ever.
Yeah, essentially losing his job. To Doc Rivers basically did an upgrade. But quickly, Brian Shaw, you know, he really did pay his time. It's funny because Jason Kidd gets a job, you know, 6 minutes after unlacing his shoes, and Brian Shaw, who's got championships, learned under all of these great coaches, has to put in his time, and finally he gets a job. My only question, though, is in Denver, they got rid of George Karl thinking they can't get over the hump, but Brian Shaw is going to come in and run that triangle offense, an offensive-minded philosophy. And is that really that much better than George Karl? Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, he was a tough, gritty player, right? You know, original, you know, went to Greece and then came to the Celtics. I think, and I think he believes in defense, too. So I don't think it's just, you know, totally offense with the triangle. And I think he'd do a good job, you know. And I think, unlike George Karl, you know, who messed around with that lineup so much, the ownership, you know, really wanted to play and start, you know, McGee, and wanted to, you know, go with some of these other guys. And, you know, I think it will be a positive change for them. I think they got to tweak the roster a bit, though.
Good. That's what I was going to say. Good for the Nuggets, though, winning 56 games, and saying, you know what, we're not ready to break through. We just don't have the combination of roster and coach. So we gave them a little bit of a hard time, but you know what? If it's their philosophy and they firmly believe that they're not ready to compete, I love it. Because how many times do we knock these teams for really just being satisfied with making the playoffs, being satisfied with just contending? And the Nuggets aren't. And so the Nuggets are saying, you know what? GM goes to Toronto, no big deal. Coach, we're not renewing your coach. You've had enough. You've had, what was he? George Karl was there for like 8 or 9 years. You know, went
yeah,
through
9 years.
The Carmelo years, and now a couple years after Carmelo. So good for them. Change is good. You know what? Let's make some change. And then the one thing that's strange to me is this whole Doc Rivers thing, right? He signed a 5-year contract knowing that his big three was going to get very old very quickly, and he probably was going to outlast them. So suddenly, 2 years into a 5-year contract, he finds himself making the same amount of money in L.A. coaching the Clippers. So, again, Danny Manning is in some interesting deals, right? He got basically Kevin McHale.
Oh, Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge, sorry. He got Kevin McHale to trade him, you know, Kevin Garnett, to essentially win him a championship in 08 and go to the finals in 2010. And now he essentially gets to trade Doc for a rebuilding first-round pick. Now, he says publicly, oh, I was so shocked that Doc left. And I don't believe a word of it. I think that they were in cahoots. And basically Doc said, look, I put in my 9 years. I need a change of pace. And Danny Ainge was like, okay, well, let me see what I can get out of this. And he gets
well, he spoke well of him. I mean, he definitely spoke well of him, and they have a good.
Yeah, they both grew up in the same era, and they're both, you know, I think there's no animosity. I think it was one of those strategic decisions where Doc needed a breather, and he wanted a change of scenery. And Danny said, look, I have a commodity on my hands, and think about it. You lose your coach, but you get a first-round pick in return? That's not bad. You're going to rebuild anyway.
No, it's not bad at all. It's not bad at all. I think, do we have a call, or do you want to take a call before we do this draft? Or?
I think that's just the listener, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you're right, and I still think they've got to adjust their roster. And so, you know, we'll get into that. I mean, obviously, you know, the Clippers don't have, you know, a great draft pick. I think they're, 25 or 26, somewhere down low. You know, and the one thing I will say, when you look at this NBA draft, yeah, the Clippers are 25, you know. Jay Billis said it best. If you started this draft, Jay Billis from ESPN, who, you know, we chat with on Twitter sometimes, you know, I think Jay Billis said it best on ESPN. He said, if you started this draft at 5, you'd be like, wow, this is a really deep draft with, you know, a lot of solid talent. You don't necessarily see, you know, potential, you know, constant all-stars or Hall of Famers, you know, more like, you know, maybe some starters, some 6-7, you know, guy off, you know, first or second guy off the bench, but a lot of depth and a lot of talent. And what I noticed, I think, Ray, that I think is pretty interesting, with, you know, a couple 6'11 guys, but with 6'11 and 7-footers, you've got about 9 to 11 6'11 7-footers, legitimate 7-footers in this draft. So there's some size, a lot of youth, and, you know, we'll just have to see what could happen, you know. But I think at the top, even some of these guys are question marks because some of the guys are injured, you know, rumored to be 1 or 2 or 3, you know. So it's sort of fascinating. So why don't we – I'll let you go first, and let's sort of go through these teams, and let's start with the lottery. The Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, we can't really project out trades. What do you think they do with the number one pick, Ray?
Well, it looks like the most talented NBA-ready guy is Ben McLemore. And this guy projects to be a fantastic two-guard. And Jay Williams and I were going back and forth on Twitter about this, and I said, look, there hasn't been a two-guard selected number one overall since the mid-70s, you know, since David Thompson. So
yeah.
I don't think he'll go number one. I think that they're going to do, quote-unquote, the safe thing and take Nerlens Noel. And I think that they're going to hope that they get, and I tweeted about this today, and hope that they get a Kenyon Martin, Blake Griffin bounce back as opposed to a Greg Oden guy who's continually injured. I think they have to make an Anderson Varejao decision, but they like some shot blocking, some defense. If they didn't have Deion Waiters, then possibly they would go with McLemore. But I think that since they used their first-round pick, number four overall last year, on Deion Waiters, they're going to go.
And Waiters did well with Irving.
Safe pick with Nerlens.
Okay, so you're going Nerlens Noel. I sort of agree with you to the extent that McLemore might, you know, have the best, you know, probably potential and probably the best pure shot and one of the best scorers in the draft. And I like Noel. I just think at 206 in the knee, I don't know if that frame is going to really translate. And, yes, he can block shots, but I just don't like starting off my career with a guy who's already injured. I think the solid pick, they need a small forward. There were rumors about trading for Dang or Pierce, and I don't know if it will happen. I say the Cleveland Cavaliers should go with the best two-way player in the draft, even better than Oladipo. I think it's Otto Porter. I think Otto Porter, who is a solid, you know, 6'9", 200, showed that he could score at Georgetown, lead a team, played great defense, and can stick the three and the four probably in the NBA potentially. And I just like his versatility.
He's only listed at 198, so he's a pretty thin dude at 6'8", 6'9", 200 pounds.
Yeah, but to me, though, I think he's got a frame that's going to get bigger, and I think he plays bigger and he's stronger. And he's good on the glass. He's got great hands. You've seen him at Georgetown, man, you know. And this year, you know, when some of the players got hurt at Georgetown, he had to just be the solo scorer and really dominated in the Big East. I don't take that lightly, and you know you shouldn't either. So, number two, who you got the Orlando Magic taking?
I got the Orlando Magic taking Ben McLemore. I think he fits in great. I think he's perfect. They need a two-guard ever since, you know, even J.J. Redick. They haven't had a shooter, scorer, legit two-guard on that team. Now, they also need a point guard. I just don't think that there's a point guard up here that's good enough. So I don't think you go with Trey Burke. I don't think you go with Carter Williams. I don't think you go with the other point guard prospects at this spot. I think you take Ben McLemore and you basically roll with him as your starting two-guard for the next 10 years.
That sounds good. And, you know, for me, actually, I think here is where they take the chance. And I think the Orlando Magic sort of want to replace Dwight Howard, and not that he's Dwight Howard, but I think they go with the youth and throw him up there with Nicholson, and I think they go get the shot blocker, and I think they take Nerlens Noel, number two. I see him, you know, with the Magic. So now the Washington Wizards at number three.
So if everything happens the way you said it, the Wizards will be shedding a lot of tears. Because to me, the perfect match, although I think he declined to go to their workout, was Otto Porter. So to me, if Otto Porter stays home and they've got a backcourt of Bradley Beal and John Wall, and then you throw Otto Porter, who the best thing you can say about him is he's versatile and he looks to be low maintenance. So with those other two being kind of more high profile, to slide him in, that's a nice little 1-2-3. They could use some size, they could use some offense in the low post, but who couldn't? But I don't think you could let Otto Porter slip. So I would take Otto Porter if he's on the board. I would take him with the Wizards pick at three.
Okay. Well, what's interesting here is that, you know, I think you could go a lot of ways. You could go, for me, I could go McLemore, but the Wizards have, you know, Wall and Beal at the two. I think, you know, you could potentially go, you know, V-Kid, who's even compared to Larry Johnson a little bit. He's sort of 6'7", 6'8", 240, and Anthony Bennett. I like him, too. Or Oladipo. But I actually think the Wizards are going to go with the local kid. I think they're going to go with Alex Lem, the Ukrainian. And the reason why I like him at 7'1", 255, he you know, was a little banged up with the foot, but he's basically going to be okay. Doctors have, you know, cleared him, checked him out. I think he has offensive skills, and he just started playing the game, at, you know, at like 18 years old or 17 years old. So I think he's only going to get better, and he's got nice hands, good skills, dominated Noel when Maryland played Kentucky early on. And I think he just really – He fits with that team because, to me, Nene, who was hurt all last year, Okafor, they're more power forwards, and neither one of them, to me, is a real center. I think Alex Len will be the center for the Wizards.
Okay.
Number four,
the Charlotte Bobcats. The Georgetown.
About to be the Hornets, though, right? Aren't they going to go back to the Hornets? That's the rumor.
Yeah, they should, because Bobcats, you know, Bob Johnson got his name in an NBA franchise, which is kind of interesting. Charlotte Bobcats, to me, it's between two players. It's between Anthony Bennett, the little bit undersized power forward, super athlete freshman from UNLV. So I think that's a logical pick, and then Alex Len. So they have a roster, though, with Bismack. They got Bismack Biyombo, and they got Byron Mullen.
Yep.
But they actually have some size up front. And they brought Josh McRoberts in, you know, from Indiana, from the Pacers. So they actually have some size. But I still think that they could use some athleticism, and they could use some oomph. If Otto Porter drops, I think they'd be very happy with him. Rotating him in with Kid Gilchrist and Kemba Walker, Gerald Henderson, a little undersized. But I think that if he's there, they might take Alex Len, or ultimately I think they'll take Anthony Bennett. I think they'll take the athlete.
So you have Bennett going to the Bobcats?
Yeah, I got Bennett going to the Bobcats.
Okay, well, for me, this is interesting because I could sort of see a combination of Bennett, Oladipo, or McLemore. And for me here, I got to go with Charlotte. I got to go with McLemore. I think McLemore is too talented. I think, you got Kimball Walker, McLemore, and then Gilchrist at the three. I think the 1-2-3, you know, that would be pretty solid for them. And I think at four, McLemore will fit in perfectly for them. I think the Bobcats need a lot of help, though.
Okay. All right.
Now,
so
here, number five with
Phoenix,
my sons.
So your boys out there in Phoenix, I think, to me, they go with some size, and they take Alex Len. And if he's there, I think they'll be pretty happy with him on the board. The other guy they might be interested in is Victor Oladipo. To get a wing athlete, somebody that can go both ways and defend and can score a little bit. Great progress in his 3 years at Indiana. But I think ultimately they go with size and they take Alex Len.
Okay. I think that would be, you know, a really good pick for them. They could use that. But I remember they still have Marcin Gortat. So,
yeah.
For me, I got to go. The Phoenix Suns, to me, I don't think, you know, Shannon Brown is the answer or that combination. Wesley Johnson is a free agent. They won't probably bring him back. I say they're going to go with Victor Oladipo, and I think he'll be perfect in the backcourt at the two with Dragic. And I think Oladipo is going to be a stud out here in the land of the sun. You know,
okay.
I think it's just going to be nice, and I'll be seeing them next season.
All right, so now.
Now the new Pelicans. How many Pelicans are out there pedaling?
So, the question for me is, what do they think of Eric Gordon? Because if they want to build around Eric Gordon and Anthony Davis, they don't take Victor Oladipo if he's on the board. If they have questions about him and his health and his contract, then they do take Victor Oladipo. So, to me, this starts with Eric Gordon. And if they don't take Victor Oladipo, then they're looking for a point guard. They'd love to have a point guard that plays pick and roll with Anthony Davis and can
get. Wait, don't diss my boy, Grievous Vasquez, yo. He got busy last year.
Oh, you like Grievous? You like Grievous?
Come on. You going to go with Trey Burke? Don't diss my boy, Grievous.
That's your boy. No, you know what
I'm
saying?
Can
I'll
get a Yo Terps?
I'll go with Victor Oladipo. I'll say that Victor Oladipo is their guy, and I think that whole Eric Gordon marriage hasn't been so healthy. So I like Victor Oladipo in this spot right here.
Yeah, there's some rumors that they might trade Eric Gordon, and you know, but with his contract potentially, it might be hard to move. I sort of agree with you, though. They got to figure that out. I think the Pelicans are going to take Anthony Bennett. I think he will fit in nicely. You know, Aminu is a free agent, so you know maybe Bennett could play a little 3-4 in the NBA. And I think that I think he'll be nice down there. I think that would be a good start to get him going with the talent, you know, that they have with Anthony Davis and you know Rivers and Vasquez, and try to see if they can move Gordon. If not, make him be happy and play, you know. So Sacramento, the Kings at 7.
So I think the Kings by
not Seattle, Ray, Sacramento.
No, for one more year they're Sacramento. So I think that they're coming out of here position-wise with a point guard. So the question is, who's your top point guard on the board? Now, skills-wise, it may be Trey Burke, but I actually believe that they're going to go with size, and I think that they're going to go with Michael Carter-Williams. So I think that I think they're going to fall in love or have fallen
but
in love.
But isn't he sort of like Tariq Evans, don't you think, a little? I mean, I don't think that, you know, they've worked out so well with Tariq, who's sort of a...
Though. He's a pure point guard. He can't really score and he can't really shoot, but he can defend and he can play the point, right? He's a legit point guard. I mean, think about what they've gone through, right? They had Tariq Evans and then they had Bino. And
they like Isaiah Thomas at the backup.
Isaiah Thomas, but that's the reason why you don't get another small guard in Trey Burke, but you have this little Isaiah Thomas, and they've had Jimmer Fredette. So you need a guy that is a pass-first, legitimate, run-the-team guard. Oh, and by the way, if he can be 6'5", 6'6", then why not? So I actually think that even though a lot of people are picking Trey Burke as the first point guard off the board here, I think that Michael Carter-Williams at 6'6", comes off the board here and is the number one point guard taken.
Okay, Sacramento. Now, see, to me, I got, you know, I also throw C.J. McCollum in there, who, you know, 6'3", he's sort of a, you know, 197, 198 point two guard from Lehigh. You remember him when they took out Duke. But
yep.
I just think that Trey Burke, to me, the way that he can shoot and run a team and his efficiency, I don't think he's too little. I think his 6'1", I think he plays so smart. I think he's not like for Jimmy Fredette or Isaiah Thomas, and I think he's a general. Like, I just like him. You know, obviously he might not compare to these great athletic point guards that we have in the league, but he definitely – you know, he could be Tony Parker-esque in terms of learning how to, you know, remember he's got speed. You know, he's not, like, super quick, but he plays quick. And I think he'll hit the clutch shots. I actually like him. So I'm going to go with Trey Burke at 7 in Sacramento. So now the Pistons, number 8.
So here's an interesting question. What do you think about Brandon Knight? I mean, he's not your pure point guard. And
no, they had him at the 2 with Calderon at the 1.
Yeah, and so I think that once they made that decision, I think that Detroit Pistons also are coming out of here with a point guard. So to me, 7 and 8 are going to be Carter Williams and Trey Burke. So it depends on what order you like them in, but whoever doesn't get picked at 7 is going to get picked at 8. So I like the Detroit Pistons. A lot of people are saying Carter Williams here, but I like the Detroit Pistons here to take Trey Burke. And I think he's the local kid. He's the Michigan product. And I think he's their pure point guard. He can get Drummond involved, and he can play alongside of our boy from Georgetown, Greg Monroe. So I like Trey Burke here at number 8 to the Pistons.
Okay. Well, you know, it's so funny. I sort of, you know, they're probably going to get rid of, you know, maybe the Stuckey and the Bynum type guys. I think neither one of those guys have ever developed to be great. I think Calderon's contract might be up. So, you know, if they keep Brandon Knight, I actually think here they'll take Michael Carter Williams, and I think he'll fit in nice with Detroit, and they'll figure out that backcourt together with him and Brandon Knight and figure out what they're going to do. So I got Michael Carter Williams from the Cuse. Shout out to our boy Fish with the Cuse at number 8.
Okay, all right.
Number 9, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
What do the Timberwolves do? I mean, they've got some issues. Now, to me, they could go with some front court help with Cody Zeller. They could flirt with a Shabazz Muhammad, get a little offense, get a little punch in their game. They could go even with like a CJ McCollum and get a little, combo guard action.
Somebody to play with Rubio?
Yeah, Ricky Rubio is their guy. Ricky Rubio is their point guard. So I actually think that they might need some offensive punch, and they go with Shabazz Muhammad over here. I think that he is that left-handed, kind of spark plug offensive wing player that they've been flirting with, but not really. Think about how many guys they had Derek Williams, and they had the kid Johnson from Syracuse, and nobody's worked out for them really on the wing. Shabazz, he's really a 2, not really a 3, but he can play a little bit of both. So I like Shabazz.
Yeah, he's got good size. I think that's a good pick. I mean, the one thing that could happen here, I like the kid, Cartavius Caldwell.
Pope?
Yeah, Pope.
Two guard from Georgia?
Yeah, 6'6 from Georgia, the two guard. He's like 205, 206. I could see him, but I actually think what's going to happen is Pekovic, the big center who's developed, is a free agent. And I think not like Roy Hibbert type, but like Omer Asik type, I think some teams are going to try to get him. You got teams like Atlanta and Dallas who might throw some money. Even Cleveland, other teams, Milwaukee, got all those power forwards, could use a center. So I think somebody's going to go after him, and I think they're going to draft Cody Zeller. I think Cody Zeller, he's sort of a 4 or 5. Maybe he can grow the weight in, but I like his offensive skills. And I think, to go with Kevin Love, I like Cody Zeller. I think the talent of Cody Zeller is too good to pass him up at 9. So I think he'll be a Minnesota guy.
All right, so that's interesting because Kevin Love, who's an all-star when he gets his hand right and he's healthy. So I think the same exact thing that you said, I say ditto in the next pick for the Portland Trail Blazers, and I like Cody Zeller, if he's there, to be matched up alongside LaMarcus Aldridge.
LaMarcus, yeah, because they're probably going to lose J.J. Hickson.
Right, so Cody Zeller can play that backup 4, starting 5, a little bit of both. If he bulks up a little bit, but offensively, that's a pretty interesting combination if you can get Aldridge and Cody Zeller in the same front court. So I like Cody Zeller at number 10, giving them a lot of offensive punch, and hopefully he'll grow into his body. And a guy that's very talented. Now, I got on him because he didn't really step up as a preseason player of the year candidate, but he's still very talented, and he's a young guy. Is essentially coming out as a sophomore. So I like Cody Zeller.
Okay. Well, to me here at Portland, it's hard, right? Because I see, where they're going with LaMarcus and Lillard. I mean, I think they like Nicholas Batum and Wesley Matthews. They're both at the 2 and 3 sort of signed to longer deals. And I think they need to, try to shore up the center. I see different people like Steven Adams and I think Shabazz Muhammad is talented, and even McCollum could fall into their hands, but I don't see what they need McCollum unless you just want him to be your first guard like Vinny Johnson off the bench. So I think for me, for Portland, I'm gonna have to go with Kelly Olynyk. I think he's got great hands, 7 foot, 235. He can hit a jumper, he can run the floor. I like his skill set, his talent, and I think he'll work good with Portland and the way they have to open the court, and with LaMarcus, because LaMarcus is kind of solid in the post. So it's good to have the center who can pass, got good hands, and maybe can shoot a little 12, 15-footer. So I like Kelly Olynyk there at 10 with Portland.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So at number 11, we've got the Philadelphia 76ers. And
no coach.
No coach. So Doug Collins is out.
God.
And they made the trade for Bynum, and that obviously didn't work out for them. Spencer Hawes didn't really do much. So I think they go with size. I think he's only a freshman, but he's 7 feet, 255, and they go with the kid from Pitt, Steven Adams. They are in
a bit of
a rebuild, and they want some size, and, you know, Drew Holiday's their best player, but they need to put some talent around him. And I think that they start with that. The like Michael Jackson's the man in the middle. So
there,
they go with Steven Adams.
All right, that's a good pick. It's funny because I sort of see him around that same area. But for me, I think the Sixers, I think Turner is more of a two than a three, and I don't think Thaddeus Young is really a three. And, you know, or if you could play Turner at the three, you know, I just think basically I think they're going to go with Shabazz Muhammad. I think the Sixers, I think, you know, he's available. I think too much talent. You know, some people were saying that maybe they take this kid that's been going around, Lucas Nogueira, the Brazilian kid, who's like a 7-footer but only 220. They say he's like a 4 or 5, but I don't really think so. I think they're going to go with Shabazz Muhammad here.
Okay.
So,
all right. This
okay,
is, to me, is the most interesting pick. This, to me, is
right,
the most Oklahoma City.
Shouldn't be in the lottery, right? You know,
right,
great team.
Shouldn't be in the lottery. By all accounts, is a top three team in the NBA and really could have easily been the defending Western Conference champs and faced the Heat again. But obviously Russell Westbrook goes down. So, to me, they have some interesting decisions. You know, they picked a couple of guys that we liked that we and traded for that we thought might be decent. You know, they have the kid from UConn, the small forward.
Lamb, yeah.
Yeah,
Jeremy
Lamb. They've got our boy from
Perry
Baylor.
Jones.
Right.
Yeah, Perry Jones.
Right, Jones from Kentucky. And then they got the kid from Baylor, who we thought Percy Jones III would be decent. But to me, like you said, there might be some talent out there for them. You know, they could look at a Gorgui Dieng. They could look at a guy like a Shabazz Muhammad if he falls to them. I don't have him falling to them. I think that they're going to need – they could look at a guy like Pope from Georgia. But I think here they could use some offensive talent to take the pressure off of Westbrook and Durant. So even though they have some talent in the front court, they're not really great offensively. I like Kelly Olynyk here. I like the kid from Gonzaga. He's 7 feet. He doesn't play like a 7-footer necessarily, but if he can give them some
moves,
scoring,
well,
he can take some pressure off of the big two and, you know, allow them to you know, basically compensate for the fact that for a few years they've been carrying two, you know, a center and a forward that don't really score much. You know, obviously Kendrick Perkins doesn't give you anything at all offensively. So I like Kelly Olynyk here. Even though, you know, Percy Jones III, we both thought could contribute some minutes, and maybe even Jeremy Lamb might give him some punch off the bench. I like Olynyk here. He's a scorer, and he could definitely add some, you know, 20 minutes to that roster. And they're a contender. So, yeah, that's my guy, Kelly Olynyk.
All right, well, it's real simple for me. Who you just said for the Sixers, I'm going to go OKC with Steven Adams. You know, Perkins is sort of slow and could be getting older, might not, you know, last with them so long. You don't know if you, you know, have to make a decision, you know, if you're going to keep Ibaka. But I just think Steven Adams has a good upside, so I'll take Steven Adams over there for OKC. I think, you know, you gotta get a little bit more help. Nick Collison's getting older, and he's a four, and this guy's a legit 7-footer and could even grow more, and his game will definitely grow. So
okay.
13. As we're wrapping up the lottery, we got Dallas 13 and Utah 14. Who you got Dallas taking?
I think Dallas comes out of here with a guard. I think they either take Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the 6'6 sophomore from Georgia, or they take C.J. McCollum from Lehigh. So it's a tough pick. I actually think that the more aggressive move would be C.J. McCollum, and I think that your boy's got to do something that is, you know, Mark Cuban, to keep Dirk happy and to bring in some talent. And the O.J. Mayo experiment was,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of mixed results. So I think
probably going to opt out. I thought he played well, but he doesn't want to stay, it looks like. So.
Yep, combo guard, you know, can give him some minutes at the one and at the two. And I like his game. I think he's NBA ready offensively, so I like C.J. McCollum here.
Well, you know what? I think this is our first pick we, you know, sort of exactly agree. I'm going with McCollum here, too. You know, I see him dropping down. Like you, I thought of Pope, you know, Barkevious Pope, but also thought of Sergei Kazi.
Karasev,
yeah. Or Karnazay or whatever. What is he, the Russian kid, 6'7". But I'm going to go with C.J. McCollum here for Dallas. So to finish up the lottery, and we'll go to a couple other teams real quick. To finish up the lottery, Utah Jazz at number 14, who missed the playoffs by like 3 seconds and a happy meal. I mean, they barely, you know, might have even given a better run than the Lakers. So what do you think the Jazz will do? With a lot of free agents on the roster, right? Their big guys are free agents, Jefferson and Millsap.
You know, Utah's in trouble. I mean, their backcourt was Mo Williams. And then when Mo Williams was out, then they had – who did they have? I mean, they just had a terrible – Jamal Tinsley, right? Earl Watson. I mean, God.
A lot of those guys. They're all like – I think all of you you just mentioned are free agents, like along with their – you know, they've got like six free agents.
So, and they also have to make a decision up front with what do they do, you know, with favors.
Jefferson and Millsap.
Jefferson, who's going to be the two of the three that stay. And so they basically got to decide between Jefferson and Millsap. So I think they need a point guard to tie it all together. They're going to probably bite the bullet and take this guy, even though he's short and he's only a sophomore. And, you know, they don't know that he projects to be an NBA starter and a star at the point guard position, but I think they take a chance on Shane Larkin here. I think it's the end of the first, it's the end of the lottery, mid first round. I think this is where Shane Larkin goes.
Wow, that's funny because that's exactly who I think they're going to take. A lot of people think they might go a different direction, but I just think Shane Larkin. He's very, you know, they have other picks, the Jazz, in his draft, and I think they get up as other positions. But I think, to me, Shane Larkin has star potential, and I think he really showed in the tournament and just throughout the season and the competition in the ACC, he knows how to run a team. And he's got the clutch gene, you know. He's got Hall of Fame genes. So I think, you know, and you know, clean-cut kid, little bit of a swag and attitude, and I think, you know, I don't think he'll be a coach killer or anything like that. I think he's got respect. I don't think he's a Darren Williams type, but I think he will be perfect with the Utah Jazz. I really do, you know. So let's just take a quick little break, right, and then we'll get back with talking about some teams. We'll give you some Knicks and Nets and bounce around a little bit, maybe even with some sleepers. Ray and Tate today talking
the
NBA draft.
You know what, when I want the sports, all the best updates, I go to Ray and Tay. That's right. All sports. All good. Yeah.
Ah. Little drop Pablo. From the stand-up comic. Pablo Francisco, baby. You gotta like that, man. We got some famous people to listen to Ray and Tay, some friends of the show, and definitely, you know, doing a little drop for us, tuning in. So, Ray, you know, we sort of already talked about Phoenix, which sort of covers me out here, and I think they might have a second-round pick, and, you know, they've got to improve. You know, the Lakers don't have a first-round pick. But let's just look local. Let's talk about what we think sort of in the Barclays Center at 22, what will the fans be screaming for the Brooklyn Nets, and then at 24, the New York Knicks. So Brooklyn at 22, what do you think they're going to do with that roster and Jason Kidd, the new coach?
God, look, Brooklyn needs size. I mean, at the end of the day, they've got that backcourt. So, look, you signed them up. You got to hope they deliver. And Marshawn Brooks, you got to hope that he goes back on track to getting better and improving and giving them some punch off the bench. And, of course, Gerald Wallace is your three, can play a little bit of four.
And give him consistent minutes, too. He's got to play, you know.
Yeah. And so you obviously got the big man, Brook Lopez. So I think your need is starting four, and they got Reggie Evans, but your need is a starting four and a guy that can sort of play 4-5. So you're looking at maybe a Mason Plumlee or a Gorgui Jang or this kid Tony Mitchell from North Texas. So I think one of those guys, I think they'd be happy with. So you know what? I'll throw it out there. Gorgui Jang. I'll take boy from Louisville, a little Gorgui Jang with a slight edge over Mason Plumlee. But yeah, Gorgui Jang.
You know what's so funny? I like Gorgui, and I wish he'd be there for the Knicks. But I'm reading all over that the Hawks and the Bulls, who draft, you know, Hawks are twice. They're at 18, and they draft at 17, and also the Bulls at 20. Gorgui might not make it past the Hawks or the Bulls. So, you know, that would be interesting, you know, because – and then remember, Utah's second pick is at 21, so they could go big there. So who knows? But I think you're right. I think Brooklyn will look for a Gorgui, a Tony Mitchell. I even like this kid, Tony Snell. He's sort of the 2-3 from New Mexico who, you know, played good all year and in the tournament. I think he can score. But I actually think that he'll fall into their hands. He'll be there, and I think – I like his pedigree. He's sort of athletic. I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to go with Mason Plumlee. I like him there. But I also like Tony Mitchell.
At 22, you're not drafting Kevin Durant. So at 22, Mason Plumlee, he had a great senior year. His game really developed from sophomore year to junior year to senior year. The guy stayed 4 years at Duke. He's not going to be a star in the league, but if he's a bona fide, you know, serviceable role player and can give you some athleticism up front and can give you some youth because, you know, these guys, Gerald Wallace came in straight from high school. He's up there in age, and Reggie Evans is not really doing much for you offensively. So, yeah, I like that pick. I like it a lot, actually, if he's there.
Well, what about the Knicks, man? At 24, I mean, obviously, I'm going to tell you right now, when you look at free agent money, Cavaliers have $22 million. You don't know what the Jazz will do. Dallas, Atlanta, there are some teams with some money. The Milwaukee Bucks are probably going to lose their two guard and Monte Ellis. So J.R. Smith is going to have some offers out there, Ray. I don't think his father said he's not giving New York a deal, and nor should he. He's sixth man of the year. He gave us a deal last year, and he's earned a payday. So I think JR is going to go, and I don't know if Shumpert is just enough to sort of step up, even if he starts. Kidd is retired. What do the Knicks draft? They need size. They need probably a two. What do you think? Where do they go? A two-guard size, what?
I don't know that there's a two-guard here at the end of the draft that makes me so excited as a Knicks fan or as a Knicks brass. So there was some talk about potentially Lorenzo Brown and Snell. But I, you know what I like? I like Jeff Withey. If he's there, I will take 7-footer.
You know, they brought in about 40 guys. They brought in about 40 different guys.
Yeah, I don't know if that's smoke signals or if that's they really just don't know. But I think if he's there at 7 feet, you know, whatever he is, 250, best defensive player in the country this year in college, you know, rebounder,
shot blocker,
they have enough offensive scoring, especially when Carmelo, if we can figure out how to get Carmelo and our boy Amari on the court at the same time, to give you some size to alleviate the pressure on these guys to rebound and to play big and let Amari do what he does, which is be an offensive four. I like Jeff Withey here. I think the Knicks are hoping and praying that he's there at 24.
Okay. Well, you know, it's so funny. I think they would love Gorgui Jang, you know, but I don't think he's going to be there. You know, if he gets past Atlanta and Chicago, you better believe Brooklyn will take him, or even the Pacers, you know. You never know, because if they can't sign David West, insurance, right? But I think the Knicks would love him. But I think, like you, I don't know, you know, like you said, Snell, even this kid, Alan Craby, from California, remember we talked to him about with George Reister when he had him on a show. You know, he's a big Oregon guy and a Pac-12 guy. You know, and Hardaway Jr. Had a good workout, and he's moving up. They're saying he might not even be there for the Knicks at 24. Glenn Rice Jr., who played in the D-League, and, you know, the pedigree of Glenn Rice. But I think at the end of the day, at 24, I think the Knicks are going to take Tony Mitchell from North Texas. You know, he's sort of 6'9", 236, 240. He can play the 3-4. You know, I don't like tweeners, but this guy's got a motor, right? And I just think the Knicks, they need a live body, and I think he's a live body. So I think that's where they're going to wind up going. But, of course, if Gorgie's there, you know, but I like Whiffy. I think you're right. I like Whiffy. And you know who I like? It's so funny, and I think he's dropping to the second round. I like Deshaun Thomas. I really do. I don't care what anybody says, but I think, you know, 6'6", a solid 220. I think he could play 3 in the NBA from Ohio State. I think he's a proven winner. You know, a lot of people have him projected in the second round. I think Deshaun Thomas would be a good pickup.
I like that. I think he could be kind of like a Cedric Ceballos type. Maybe not as athletic,
but
that like crafty veteran that could be a scorer.
Play smart too, right? You know,
and
he's a smart
lefty.
Player,
you know,
man.
You know lefties. You know I got to think. So he's on my list.
So listen, we got about 5 minutes left. Let me ask you this, right? Just talking about the second round and sort of just projecting, you know, give me like one or two guys that you think are sleepers that clearly are not getting the love to make it in the first round, but you think someone like a Deshaun Thomas, you know, that you think could wind up making a couple of all-star games or be like, you know, a very, you know, big part of winning a championship for a team.
I don't know if we're going to get somebody like that. But you know what? I mean, you mentioned him. These guys are borderline first-rounder, second-rounder. But I think that kid, Alan Crabb from Cal, he's a Pac-10, you know, great scorer in the Pac-10 or whatever they're calling it now, Pac-12. And, you know, he had that little run-in with Mike Montgomery. But it turns out that he held his poise and he did his thing. He's got some decent size. He can score. I like him. I also like this kid, Jamal Franklin, from San Diego State. I think he is a great athlete, and I think he's a guy that has played some big games and has run up and down the court, also played some half court. You know, he can defend. He's long. He's athletic.
A lot of teams like him. They're saying he might make the late, you know, like at the end of the first round.
I like your pick, by the way, of Deshaun Thomas as somebody who everybody's saying is a second rounder. Who, you know, don't sleep. This guy could contribute to an NBA roster, especially as a kind of an offensive sixth, seventh, eighth man coming off the bench. But what about you? What do you got for us?
It's funny. I'm always going to be a little loyal to the ACC and Big East, but I'll just throw out a couple names to you. I mean, I had to throw out Deshaun Thomas earlier because I could see him on the Knicks, and you know, I think he's talented. Number one, obviously, you know, a shout-out to the Cuse, but James Sutherland, I think that jump shot at 6'8", when he gets going, I could see him being a nice shooter, pure shooter off the bench, coming to, you know, do, you know, some nice things for some teams. You know, Syracuse, you know, I guess really ACC team, right? Someone like a Reggie Bullock, who's projected for a Tar Heel, and I think, you know, maybe he's different from Danny Green, but maybe, you know, his games, you know, seems to develop more. A lot of players play better in the NBA sometimes than they do at North Carolina just because it's such a system team. And you already mentioned him. I think you're right about Lorenzo Brown. He, you know, he's sort of late to coming to the point guard position, but it's sort of like Michael Carter-Williams, that a tall point guard at 6'5", he ran the team well at NC State with a bunch of knuckleheads, but a lot of talent. And I think he's going to continue to get better, and I think he can sort of play a nice backup point. And defensively, he's already set there. You know, him and C.J. Leslie, I know Leslie, you know, sort of disappointed you. You know, we talked about it off air. But I think Leslie, Ray, that talent at 6'9", I think he can really play the three. And I think he might, you know, surprise somebody. And always Isaiah Cannon. Isaiah Cannon is just, he's small, he's only like 6, you know, as far as little guys, right? He's a Murray State, you know, like 6 feet, 185, 190, but Isaiah Cannon
can
boogie on you, man. Huh?
He can score.
You said he can score?
Yeah, he can score. So,
yeah,
he'll definitely intrigue some teams.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, it should be fun. And, you know, you've got some names, right? Pierre Jackson from Baylor. Kenny Kaji. So we'll see, man. It's going to be a fun. I'll tell you this, right? I think there's going to be some trades, and I think there's going to be, you know, some movement. So I think we're in for a fun night. Obviously, we'll be back, you know, Friday to review the draft and, you know, talk about all this stuff. But I hope for some. I hope for some fun and some trades, and you know, well, ESPN 7 o'clock tomorrow night. You know,
another just quick note before we go off the air is that it looks like, as everybody's projecting it, the second half of the first round is going to be full of international players. So it looks like, you know, there's the center from Brazil, there's the guard from Germany, there's the Schroeder,
the Russian guy mentioned, Sergei.
Yeah, the Russian guy you mentioned. Yeah, there's a small forward from Greece.
Dennis Schroeder. Don't forget about Dennis Schroeder.
Center from France, yep.
Yeah, the point guard. I can see the Celtics taking him, or the Hawks, yeah.
It looks like five, six, seven, potentially coming from the lottery to the end of the first round. So look for this draft, the second half of the first round, to have a lot of international flavor. We didn't really get into that, but we'll talk about it on our draft recap show.
International. Yo, you know, we got to give a shout-out, man. Your boy, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian, had their little girl, Northwest.
Oh, come on. Oh, who cares? I mean, look, I wish everybody the best. You know what I mean? I wish all
the
parents.
Look, for comedy. For the comedy aspect, I had to mention it, Ray. Northwest. Wow. God bless them. So, good show. And, you know, listen, we will be back Friday, you know, Friday afternoon, you know, probably like 3 p.m. and give you a little breakdown of the draft, hopefully some trades and all that good stuff. All that good stuff.
Yeah,
man.
Thanks
so,
for listening. We had a great time bringing you our draft preview. We'll review everything like they said on Friday. So in the meantime, go enjoy the evening. Go enjoy the draft tomorrow and check back in with us on Friday.
Yeah, Ray and Tay today. Talking sports with friends.
We're out.